Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Good morning, everybody. Evan Giddings alongside Dan DeVone with you here on Warriors This Week, again from 9 to noon every single Saturday. And then, Dan, look, I know we saw each other less than 24 hours ago, but it feels like it's kind of just been the same thing the last few weeks. I mean, we show up, the Warriors have lost the game, and this time it's to the Clippers without Steph and Dre, but they continue to reel, and now it's close enough to this point where if they lose tonight to the Phoenix Suns, they are a 500 basketball team, and the Golden State Warriors
are they 500 right now? I think they are.
15-15. Sorry, they are, I think, 15. Oh, boy, Dan.
Anyways.
15-14. They are 15-14.
Okay.
They lose tonight to the Suns, they are 500.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I think that was one of those that Steve Kerr was chalking up to. We're going to rest some guys at the expense of losing or winning this basketball game. Your chances of beating L.A., which has been a surprisingly good team this year. And I think that going into Los Angeles without Steph, without Draymond, without GP2, that you, if you're going to load manage, which essentially is what that was last night, then I think Steve Kerr is essentially giving a loss and putting one in the loss column and sort of recognizing that this is the cost of playing with aging basketball players, one soon to be 36 and the other soon to be 37.
But that wasn't necessarily the case early in the season. I mean, they kind of built in some rest for Curry. They even built in some rest for Draymond, and they were able to win some games. It feels like, you know, again, it doesn't necessarily matter who they play. Last night, 102-92 to the Clippers. Again, like you mentioned, the Clippers, are, you know, 17-13, they're not a bad basketball team whatsoever. And they appear to be getting a little bit healthier. We'll see how long Kawhi Leonard, when he does return, expected at the beginning of the new year, is able to stay healthy. But, you know, even when the Warriors were good, Dan, that's a Clippers team that they've really had trouble with. So, you know, they score 30 points in the fourth quarter. They have a late rally. Jonathan Kuminga scores, 34 points all off the bench in 37 minutes with 10 rebounds and 5 assists. Statistically, had a great game. But the Warriors don't have enough. And I think that's kind of been the recurring theme of these last few weeks. It doesn't feel like they have enough. And I'm just curious where, as we start this conversation, people are at. Because it feels like we're watching reruns, just with different shapes, with different characters, maybe a different storyline each night. But Kerr doesn't appear to have them. Whether Curry's in, whether Curry's out, they lost on Christmas behind 38 points. You know, and this team, Dan, is right now really, really struggling. And we knew that this was going to be a tough December for them. But, gosh, it has been a holiday time from hell.
Yeah, you go through these sort of things, and hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Or Steve Kerr seems, and he's the ultimate optimist. By the way, I think they are 15-15 on the season, so whatever. They're struggling regardless. It's a 500 basketball team. And who would have thought when they were 12-3 that they would lose the next 12 of 15? But that's the sort of, you know, that's what's going on with this team currently. And I think Steve Kerr has to sort of, he's going to always maintain the stiff upper lip and the glasses half full and a level of optimism that teams go through this sort of thing. It's the NBA, for crying out loud. And really, when you think about it, you're just a couple of wins away from being right back into the number 5 or 6 seed. So a lot of teams are tightly bunched. And he points out that our defense will get better. We will recapture that energy. We will. What happened early on in the season is not a fluke. It's just, you know, they've lost it for a little bit, but they're still statistically amongst the top tiers, the top tier in terms of basketball teams and defensive metrics. And I think that he strongly believes the Warriors will get back there. But there's also, I think, that's the coach, Steve Kerr. But I think that being a realist as a fan, there's also the other side of that coin that potentially that the losing could continue. That this is a team that may not only, you know, it may not stop at 500. That you could be looking at a sub-500 team that does not go to the playoffs and is in the lottery. As ridiculous as that might sound. So this idea that they're at some point going to pivot and get back to where they were at 12-3 or a happy medium between where they're at right now and the 12-3 start, that's plausible. But then you also have to entertain that this team could continue to lose throughout the remainder of the season.
Sorry, yeah, my apologies. God, on NBA.com, they still have them at 15-14. Yeah, I mean, look, they are the reverse of what they've been, and they've played as the antithesis of their start of the season. But I guess kind of what's led them to this point? You know, that's, I think, what they're trying to figure out, what we have to try and figure out, because no basketball team has started 12-3 and not made the postseason. That was a stat that kept resurfacing last night. You know, I saw Sam, who was doing post-game here on 95.7 The Game last night, and I feel like the questions that he was asking were about the game, but it feels bigger than the game, and it feels bigger than the week. They haven't been able to put together a consecutive stretch of a quality basketball over the course of two games, and I think it has to do with their players, but I also think it just has to do with the performance. And last night, I was encouraged by the younger guys, but that's also, I don't know, I guess representative of, I think, the choice the Warriors are kind of coming to. You know, whether they want to choose the young players or choose the older guys. And I don't know if they necessarily have the ability to pull the trigger because there isn't a move right now that appears to be out there. But, you know, if they don't do something soon, Dan, like you mentioned, they are going to be under 500 because they play another team who's also 500 tonight in the Phoenix Suns. But, you know, I'm not really sure what the future holds for this season, for this team. But I know that watching them over the last couple of weeks, it's been difficult to figure out what pieces you want and what pieces you don't.
There is something. You talked about the kids and how well they played last night. I mentioned this to you last time. There is, and now last time I was a bit inquisitive and like, could this be a thing? And now I'm sold on it. The last time, Jonathan Kuminga's previous career high was 33 points. And that came in a game against the Houston Rockets in which they ended a five-game losing streak. Guess who didn't play in that game against the Houston Rockets?
30.
It was Draymond Green and it was Steph Curry. And I said to you in the audience that I think Jonathan Kuminga is a different basketball player when those two aren't on the floor. Now, obviously, he's getting the majority of the looks. The offense is going through him. He's playing upwards to 35 to 38 minutes a contest. So naturally, his rebounding and his numbers are going to be up. But there is a swagger. There's a confidence in his game when he's not deferential to Steph Curry and Draymond Green. And I think collectively as a group, that's true. That I think that Lindy Waters lets it fly. Suddenly you see Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis, by the way. We got to put a spotlight on him because he has pivoted and he's becoming the Trace Jackson Davis of a year ago. And he's getting nasty. He looks very good over the last 10 days. But I think there's a freedom when those two are out of the game. Now, I'm not saying that Steph Curry and Draymond Green should come off the bench. But there is something there. And I my eyes don't deceive me. That Jonathan Kuminga feels a sense of release. There's, I don't know, that clearly you can see the confidence. He is not, body language alone, he is not the same basketball player. And he's much better when Steph Curry and Draymond Green are not on the floor with him. And that's true, I think, for all of those players who, and you can't help but when you join the Warriors, you know that it's all about Steph and Draymond. And if you're going to take a shot, you and Steph and Dre are on the floor, you better be damn well sure that it's a good shot, because otherwise you should have given it up to Dre and or Steph. I think that's sort of the logic with these guys. And when they're out, it's almost like you know, you go to chemistry when I was at SI and Mr. Lawrence wasn't there and you get the substitute. It's like, there's a freedom, man. I'm going to walk around this class and strut my stuff and do my thing instead of being in that shell that I typically am when I don't know the first thing about biology slash chemistry.
Well, but, you know, your teacher didn't need you to be great at bio. The Warriors needed Jonathan Kuminga in that game last night, just like they needed him against Houston. And, you know, I guess it begs the question, what do you do about him? Because on one hand, I can totally see a lot of people looking at that game and saying, all right, that's a perfect showcase game. That's a perfect trade bait game. That's a perfect game where the Warriors can feature their best trade chip. And he had an awesome game, and they lost. But someone out there is going to see this kid and say, I want a piece of that. I could also see some people saying, you're going to trade that? You're going to trade a guy that can score 34 points? And look, I mean, I know that Kuminga, look, they did not win the game. Had a costly turnover. I think it was with a minute and 20-ish seconds left. He wasn't perfect down the stretch, but he went 11 of 14 at the free throw line. Only took three threes last night.
10 rebounds,
but he was cutting. I mean, he was playing off the ball. I thought Kuminga played a great game last night. Is that really what you want to give up on? You know, and so I think that's where that's the decision that the Warriors are stuck on. And that's going to dictate where this season goes, good or bad. But he's kind of he's the pendulum player. And he's going to swing either this season towards himself and Curry, or maybe they can use him to go get somebody else. But I just wonder how people kind of view the 37-minute, 34-point performance by Kuminga last night. Because, I mean, if that's someone that he needs Curry to be off the floor to do that, that's also another thing you got to weigh in the equation. But, you know, I think they have to figure out, at least for the immediate, just how they can try and get that player when Curry's not on the floor. Because otherwise, I'm not really sure how the Warriors are going to succeed.
If you put the trade talk aside for a moment and just think about the Warriors as it relates to Jonathan Kuminga, my takeaway from that game is, how do you get that Jonathan Kuminga when Steph and Draymond are on the floor? It's clearly a thing. I know I got, you know, maybe talked out of it last time. I'm not going to today. When Steph and Draymond aren't there, he's a different basketball player, and I can see it. I can see the swagger. How do you get that guy to perform like that when Steph and Draymond are back and healthy? Because that guy can be a number two, and he can answer all of those questions that we ask on a daily basis. I mean, heck, it got so bad they went out and they got Schroeder, by the way.
Yep.
Tick, 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 tick. It's time, my man. It's been, what, five games? I don't know, how long's the grace period before we see some dividends on our investment?
Well, the investment was basically nothing, but that's also what you can get, is nothing back. I mean, they didn't have to give up anything besides draft a couple second-round picks. Yeah. You know, but that last night is where the Schroeder trade is like, what are we doing? Because it isn't just Kuminga. I mean, they were playing that kind of game without Schroeder. That's a game where you're supposed to, and I think one of the reasons why your boy Trayce Jackson-Davis has been playing better is because of Schroeder. I think he plays better alongside a traditional just kind of pick-and-roll player. But at the same time, I think Schroeder's shooting like 20% from three since he's got here. And I know that he's not a three-point marksman by any means, but we were sold a bill of goods that right now he's not delivering. And so I think last night is a perfect example of what the Warriors are going to have to figure out. Because, number one, Curry and Draymond, even when they are playing, are sometimes less diminished versions of themselves. But also, they're going to have to miss more games. Like, I think one of the strategies that Kerr is trying to figure out is, well, okay, we are load managing, and we're just going to do it because we need Curry on the floor as much as possible when he can play, and that means he might have to basically miss a game or two. Kuminga, you're the one tonight. Who else? Who was the number two on the floor last night? Kuminga came off the bench. I know he played the most minutes, but he wasn't even in the starting lineup. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they can get that player, because it's like him and Steph are taking different turns of being on and off. Monday, Kuminga was really good against Indiana. Curry was not. Christmas, I didn't think Kuminga was very good. Curry was very good. Last night, Curry obviously didn't play, but tonight against Phoenix, I mean, how? That's what they need to solve in order to try and win some basketball games. And Phoenix, I know they got KD and Book and Beal and all the boys, but they are a very winnable opponent, and the Warriors need wins in a bad way.
I think it's really, really, it's fascinating how good of a basketball player he is when when Steph Curry and Draymond Green are not on the floor. And when they're healthy, how do you get this version of JK? Because again, that solves everything. That guy, and he clearly has it, has the ability to be the number two. And at nights, be a number one. But again, it's in his head, man. And he's a sensitive man. He's a sensitive basketball player. And he's very aware of his minutes. He's very aware of when he doesn't start or does start. And I'll defer to Steve Kerr, I guess, on this one. But there's something there. There's something there when those two guys aren't on the floor. And there's that sort of energy. I recognize that energy from the Warriors last night that I haven't seen since the 12-3 start. And is it just coincidental that it happens when Steph and Draymond aren't on the floor? I think there's a conundrum there. It's like, how do you capture what it is that team did, albeit they lost by 10, but to be competitive against what is, again, a good basketball team, and that being the Los Angeles Clippers. But how do you capture that energy that they had last night going forward and then bring Steph and Draymond back into the fold? That, to me, is sort of my big takeaway from last night.
Well, I know they've lost both games since Curry reportedly called a team meeting or a players-only meeting. But I do think that there is a different level of fight to the basketball team that we hadn't seen prior to. The issue is that it hasn't turned into wins just yet. And it could tonight. Again, the Warriors are going to play the Phoenix Suns. That'll be right here on 95.7 The Game. And, looking at a 5:30 tip, 4:30 Warriors live, I believe Mark Graney's going to be at Chase Center tonight. The level of fight is different. The level of energy is different. And I think you saw that from Kuminga last night. You saw that from all the young players last night. I didn't think the young players were the problems against the Clippers. It was
35 is terrible.
It was Schroeder. It was Buddy Hield. It was Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
And that one actually did cut me a little bit, because I think that Wiggins has been arguably the most consistent player on the Warriors in terms of games played, two-way impact. And he was still defending last night, but that's also a game where Kuminga is looking for someone else to help him out offensively. And it felt like their second best offensive player might have been Trayce Jackson-Davis. So even on a night where it's all free reign, anybody can go get it, Jonathan Kuminga had nobody to help him offensively.
Yeah, and usually it's Steph who doesn't have anybody to help him offensively. So it's a good sign, and I agree with someone on the text line here. The 510, it's called consistent minutes for Kuminga. Look, I go back and forth with callers last night and throughout the week about Jonathan Kuminga. And I do think there are holes in his game, and I agree with Steve Kerr that there are some things that he needs to work on, which is why I don't think that he has that level of confidence in playing Jonathan Kuminga, but he's got to. And the idea of continuing to mess with this guy's head, start him, have him come off the bench, not have consistent minutes, just play the guy. Play the guy. Why? Because you need to. You don't have any other options. He has the potential to do what it is that he did last night on a nightly basis. And for a team that's so anemic offensively, he can't afford to play around with that. Commit to him. Give him the 30 minutes a night. Because I think you're going to get, more often than not, what it is that you saw last night. If he knows that there's a level of commitment, maybe that whole, that mental roadblock in his head of whatever that's going on with him, with Steph and Draymond being on the floor, maybe that's removed if he knows that he has the coach's confidence that he's going to play regardless of early mistakes, regardless of early turnovers. that there's a commitment to him that he's going to get 30 to 35 minutes every single night. And maybe you're going to see more of what it is you saw last night.
Well, let's just take a look at his last month. He's played 13 games, 7 starts. He's averaged 29.6 minutes per game. Kuminga's averaging 19.5 on about 45% shooting. You know, I think the thing that I get frustrated with is the starting lineup issue, because I agree with you. I think he's got to play. I think he needs consistent run. But when will Steve Kerr either believe that what Kuminga can bring to the starting lineup is A, more important than Draymond Green, or B, figure out a way to play him with Draymond Green? And that appears to be somewhat of a hang-up, because whether you believe he's, I don't know, a 3, a 4, whatever the position is, clearly Kerr is reluctant to start him when TJD and Draymond are on the front line. And so the question becomes to me, well, do you start Kuminga or do you start Draymond Green? And I think when Draymond and Curry are both healthy, that's the, in addition to how he is able to play alongside Steph, that's the question to me that they're going to have to answer. And I'm honestly more of the camp, Dan, that right now nothing is working as far as winning basketball games. But they have I think they have a chance to either improve offensively and try and figure this thing out, more so with Kuminga than Draymond. And damn it, I think that Kuminga should start over Draymond.
But why does he have to start? If that's the hang-up, he played more minutes than anybody last night. He came into the game and played 18 minutes in the first half and didn't leave, and he did the exact same thing in the second half. I don't care whether he starts or not. If that's the hang-up, let him come off the bench and then pull Trayce Jackson-Davis and keep Draymond, or pull Draymond and then bring him in, or pull Wiggins. He doesn't have to start. He didn't start last night, and he played nearly 40 minutes. And I think if you're going to get that performance, there just has to be a commitment to this guy. And if it makes more sense to start Draymond, go ahead, do that. But give this guy burn where it's upwards to 35 minutes, and that he knows every single night.
But those minutes have to come from somewhere. So whether we're talking about starting, closing, somewhere in the middle, like, he played 37 minutes because there wasn't an extra four. Like, Kyle Anderson started, but he played 15 minutes. So those minutes have to come from somewhere when Draymond Green is back and healthy.
Well, that's Steve Kerr's juggling act.
But that's what I'm saying.
Well, I get it. But if Jonathan Kuminga is going to be that guy, well, then it's going to come out of the pocket of both Wiggins and Draymond Green and Trayce Jackson-Davis or anybody else on that front line. Is that logical? I mean, if he's going to give you that sort of production, then it's going to come at the expense of Draymond not playing as many minutes or Andrew Wiggins not playing as many minutes simply because Jonathan Kuminga right now is a better option.
Well, he was last night, but that's also the part that's troubling, is they haven't been able to get them going when they're together on the floor. Like I mentioned, Kuminga, Minnesota, Memphis, did not play well. On Monday against Indiana, when he went back to the bench, like, he responded to Kerr's message over the weekend. He played really well. That's a night where Curry didn't play well. So he does need more minutes. He does need consistent run, but you're going to have to live with some of those 2-for-11s. You're going to have to live with some 1-for-9s. And I think that's the part that Kerr's a little more reluctant about, is how can we, like, when JK doesn't have it going, last night he was sensational, but when he doesn't have it going, how are you going to be able to combat that? I mean, for example, against the first half against the Lakers, he was like a minus 22 in 10 minutes.
It's terrible.
So when you play consistently, those nights are going to happen. And because the Warriors have been reeling and looking for any semblance of consistency, it's like, I think that's the reason why he's been getting jerked around.
You know, the 415 makes a good point, and I really think that there's something to this. And I mentioned the last time he had 33 points in that big win against Houston, and it was his career high at the time. And Steph and Draymond didn't play. Now his new career high is 34, and guess what? Steph and Draymond didn't play. And the 415 is talking about when Curry's on the floor, that the offense goes through Steph. There's something to that. When Steph is on the floor, he handles the rock. He's your first option. He's looking for his step back. It's about Steph. And so for a young player like Jonathan Kuminga, who is so aware of that, and he has to be deferential. He has to make sure that he can't just try and take a guy ISO because he's feeling it. He's got to make sure that Steph gets a touch, or at least he's aware that Steph's on the floor. And I think that screws up the entire chemistry of this basketball team. There's something to the imbalance of this team, and I'm convinced now after what it is that I saw last night, when Steph Curry's on the floor. And I think it really has an effect on players like that of Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know the answer to that because Steph Curry is still Steph Curry, and the offense needs to go through him, and he can still do what it is that he did against the Los Angeles Lakers. But then how do you unshackle Jonathan Kuminga so you get that version of what it is that he did last night and what it is that he did against the Houston Rockets?
How about I tell you on the other side? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone in on Warriors this week. And we're going to be talking about this for quite some time. And maybe not just tonight, maybe not just after the game against the Phoenix Suns, but this week, how do the Warriors try and solve where they're at? And is Jonathan Kuminga the key? Are the younger guys the key for the Warriors? I feel like we go back and forth on this, but last night Curry and Draymond didn't play. They lost. Kuminga was awesome. I thought Pajemski played better than he certainly has recently. And the problem was some of the veterans. How can they get more from their younger players when their best players do return? 888-957-9570. We're back after this.
Working on Mo Bamba, right baseline for a driving to the rim. Kuminga! Oh, he hammers it home. 23-21. Warriors back on top by a deuce, and Kuminga with 7 early points in 7 minutes.
Kevin Dana.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, the incomparable Kevin Dana was filling in last night for Tim Roy. Tim Roy, you slid over to television.
Yeah, I know you like, I'll leave you out of these conversations, but.
Well, you can. You don't have to.
I just want to tell you that last night's broadcast was so refreshing, listening to Tim Roy, and I'll just leave it at that. It's like driving down the highway and rolling down your window and getting that, just that fresh breath of air. It just, the action sort of spoke for itself. It wasn't incessant babbling, and it was good pacing. It was enjoyable
man.
To watch.
You better be careful.
And joy Tim to watch, Roy, I joy know, to listen to.
He's a radio guy, but on television it was very, very pleasant. But I'm not going to mention any names. Of course, well, I will mention one name. What is it? Kalena Itakatumuchi? Whatever the last name is, was Kalena Itakatumuchi.
Simmer.
Did his thing, but...
Simmer.
But Tim Roy was... Was Tim Roy, and it was so pleasant, and I'll just leave it at that. That I finally enjoyed watching a game. But let's continue.
Well, Tim Roy will be back at it tonight. I believe he'll be doing radio with Tom Tolbert, of course, right here on 95.7 The Game. 5:30 tip between the Warriors and the Suns, tail end of a back to back, and two teams that are now at 500, 15-15. The Warriors officially a 2-13 stretch over the last 15 games. But taking last night, kind of talking about the conversation and the question that Dan brought up, you know, just how do the Warriors figure out their biggest question right now, which is how they get that version of Kuminga last night with Steph Curry. And I think also Draymond Green needs to be in the equation, too. This is from the 415 of the Comcast business text line. The younger players don't fit Kerr's motion system. It's obvious. They prefer playing with a more traditional point guard and screen and roll. That's Greg from San Francisco. I don't know about that. I mean, I think when Kuminga, one of the reasons he was able to get to 34 is I thought he moved pretty well off the ball last night. And he was cutting. He was getting to the rim. He was diving. He was decisive. He was all of the things that feels like are second-guessed when Curry and Draymond are out there.
Is it coincidental that it happens when Steph's out
there? I don't think so.
I agree.
I don't think so.
The body language is entirely different.
He's the one. Like, that's what Jonathan Kuminga, the number one player on a team, could look like. We have gotten previews of it. And against the Houston Rockets, they were able to win. Last night, they lost to the Clippers. But I think that that's a glimpse of the potential that you can clearly see in this 22-year-old. Like, he's now back over 16 points per game for the season. I think if he continues to get the 35 or, you know, however many minutes you want him to get, north of 30, certainly, he can do that. You know, and I don't know if the question is how deferential he needs to be, but to me, I just wonder why there is so much hesitance and kind of, I don't know, just reluctance to play with that freedom when Curry's out there. It's like he's got one eye on the rim and one eye on 30.
And Draymond, I think. I think Draymond's a very intimidating ball player, obviously, but not only for opposing teams, but for players on his team. I think that out of your periphery, you got to make sure that you made the right decision and on the floor in terms of passing or a defensive assignment or a shot. You need the approval of Draymond Green. He's sort of a player coach. You know, after watching last night, Ev, I think that if I was one of the minions, or if I was in the camp of Jonathan Kuminga and I worked for him, I would say, JK, let's get the hell up and out of here. Let's go, man. Because now I'm convinced that you're right. If he's in Charlotte, if he was in Detroit, or if he was in Washington, if he was in one of those rebuilds in Detroit, this dude might be a star, man. This guy, when we talk about that draft class and you have all these good players, and Kuminga's sort of this, there's an asterisk next to his name because he hasn't got the contract extension. I think if he has the potential to do that without Steph and Draymond, that just tells me that this guy could get unlocked somewhere else. We always talk about a fresh start. I think if he got a fresh start and just has put to work what it is that he's learned from Steve Kerr and being on a championship team like that of the Warriors, and then all that raw ability, I mean, that might be sort of an omen of what Jonathan Kuminga could do for another basketball team, not named the Golden State Warriors.
But I'm going to be honest, that's why I don't want to let him go. You know, I
don't think it's going to work here. I really do. I've arrived at that. I don't know. Unless he can do that with Steph. And at this juncture, I don't see that happening.
Is it because of Kuminga or because of Curry or because of Kerr or just the situation? You just don't think that Kuminga is ever going to be able to play like he did last night if Curry's on the floor?
Yeah, I think that there's something mentally that takes place when Steph Curry's on the floor.
Is it mental or physical?
No, it's mental. And there's nothing, I don't think, obviously, there's nothing personal with Steph. And the same thing with Draymond. That at this point, that he does not feel that sort of liberty to do what it is that he did last night. You can just see it, man. He's the dude. And he walks around like he's the man. And it's almost like, oh, dad's home. You know, you hear that, you hear the garage door opening, and like suddenly you're like, oh, I got to mind my P's and Q's. Last night, he's the big man on campus. Unless there's some way that he can learn to be that guy when those two dudes return, I don't see it. The fact that there's been two games where he has reached his career high at 34 points and 33 points respectively, and both games were this year, and both games were when both Draymond Green and Steph Curry were not available, is not coincidence to me.
Well, I don't think it's coincidental, but I think it's because of the clarity of his role. That's just what I think it is, because it isn't just Kuminga going from a number one to a number two. It feels like when Curry's in, and when Draymond's in to some extent, Kuminga goes from being a number one to like a number three or number four. You know, because Wiggins knows how to play right now better alongside Steph from experience. And someone even like Dennis Schroeder, maybe from the way how many years he's got in the league, understands how to play alongside. Jonathan Kuminga is still figuring that out. And it sucks that the Warriors are losing games. But I do think that's something that the Warriors can try to figure out. And I think they have to right now, unless they're going to trade this kid which very may well happen in a couple months. I just don't know if it happens right now. Are you of the mind that the Warriors have to make a trade in the immediate?
No. One other example that I wanted to cite.
I need to see if this thing can work for a little bit longer before I decide to do that.
Well, you have another month and a half.
Yeah, but I'm saying, well, if you lose tonight, you're below 500. Like, I do think that there is some pressure put on the front office by just how many losses they've sustained in a very short period of time.
Harrison Barnes, I gave this example the last time this happened. And remember, Harrison Barnes was in his own head, and he was, what would you call Harrison Barnes when he was with the Warriors? The third option, maybe? Fourth option? Third option?
Yeah, depending on the night, but third or fourth.
But there were those nights where you're like, oh, come on, man, you can be that guy. You saw the raw talent out of the kid who was a high draft pick out of North Carolina, and you're like, where is that? And he got, remember in the playoffs against San Antonio way back in the day, and you could just see he was in his own head. He couldn't let it go. There was something going on. And he, too, was deferential to a certain point. Now, I'm not saying it's the same player, but there's some connective tissue here. And then Harrison Barnes goes to Dallas pre-Luka, and he's the guy. He's the number one. And he blossoms into a guy that gets paid and is still in this league and was the guy for years in Sacramento. But he got out from underneath what was the Steph Curry, the Splash Brothers, the you name it, that he sort of played underneath. Mm. And there was a sense of freedom, I think, to Harrison Barnes when he went somewhere else. So there is something, too, I think, playing with the Golden State Warriors when you have first ballot Hall of Famers like that of Steph and Draymond.
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be a difference in the hierarchy. But again, if what I saw last night, like what is best for Kuminga, can it be the best for the Warriors? That's what I think they have to lean all the way into finding out over the next couple of weeks, maybe even month, depending on how it goes. And maybe that is building in more rest days for Curry and Draymond. You know, if this is the guy that you want to promote, that you want to elevate, well, then there might be some more load management games coming for Curry.
Yeah, but at some point, they're going to have to play in concert. Like,
well, yeah, they're going to have to play in concert tonight.
He has to be that guy he was last night with Steph and Draymond on the floor. And not just for a night. He's got to be that guy getting 35 minutes. And we see more of this. If you lean in on him, I think he can be more consistent. If he can't, Ev, then yeah, I think you need to trade him. And he could be that player with another team. Matter of fact, I have no doubt if he's on a team that's not as good as the Warriors, he could be that guy. And if you want to criticize and point a finger at the Warriors, you're like, how did you let him go? The answer is because he couldn't do that here with the Warriors. It's becoming more apparent that he can't be that guy with Steph and Draymond. And so you may as well trade him and get something back from him because I don't think he can reach that level, which is why I think Jonathan Kuminga, after last night, and his boys should come to the conclusion, we need to get up and the hell out of here, man.
Well, I think his boys might already be there. But again, Kuminga himself has never, in my mind, been somewhat of a, I don't know, labeled a problem child, but his camp certainly has spoke for him. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone with you on Warriors this week. Let's go to Chuck in San Rafael, wants to get into the conversation. Chuck, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning. First, just a real quickie. Can we just, you know, dispense with this plus-minus? Lindy Waters, 0-for-6 from the field. He had the best plus-minus of the team. Jonathan Kuminga had the worst. Now, so let's not even talk about that. That really bugs the hell out of me. Okay, what do we do with, you know, Kuminga and, you know, the rest of the team? People who want to get rid of Wiggins, forget he plays aggressive defense. He's going to give you some points. He's not going to be the leading scorer or the second, but he plays defense, and he's been playing hard this year. And you lose him, and who are you going to get in his place? I don't know. Everybody wants to get rid of Wiggins. I say you got to try to keep him. He does things that don't necessarily appear in the box score. Now, as far as, you know, Schroeder goes, I watched every shot was short. Every shot was hit in the front rim. He's very tight. I think he's just really tense. Plus, of course, we know he's used to the pick and roll. And, you know, Steve Kerr's read and react system has just gone, I think, a little past him right now. As far as Kuminga goes, one of the problems I see is, yes, when the other guy, when Curry's not there, he'll be aggressive. And Kerr has made it a point to say, he said it a couple of nights ago, you know, don't take 12 foot 15 shots with 17 seconds left on the clock. He's kind of told everybody, look, Curry is the man. You don't get him the ball, we're not going to win. And I think that has curtailed Kuminga's aggressiveness. Now, Kuminga also takes a lot of drives to the basket where he's out of control. Last night, by the way, we took 20 more shots, but they blocked 10 of them. So, you know, that's a big thing. You block 10 shots, we blocked one shot. But I think if you're going to try to keep Kuminga, you're going to have to uncage him and let him play. And do I think he's going to ever develop into somebody special? I don't. I think he's going to be a very athletic guy who give you good points one night, great points another night, and then other nights he does that spin move in the pivot and they swipe it away a lot. He's got to get better control. Look at Powell last night. I mean, 6'4", and he knows his way around the basket. They have to have a second scorer like a Siakam, somebody who could score, or a rim protector. Lauri Markkanen is not the guy. He's averaging less block shots than Harrison Barnes, who averages 0.2, and Markkanen averages 0.1. He's 7 feet. He's blocked one shot this year. You want this guy on the team? I mean, he's averaging 18 points. Forget about Markkanen. They need somebody who could score or block shots, do something that they are lacking in. And I don't know who that is, but, of course, I would love Miles Turner. Siakam, I was hoping that Indiana folded, but it's going to be a rocky ride. I don't know. Either play Kuminga, 30 minutes a night, let him loose, or trade him. That's my take.
Thanks, Chuck. By the way, I think Wiggins was the worst plus minus last night. Now, Kuminga was not one of those guys, and I don't know if we were getting into that, but I hear him. Like I think people are at a crossroads with this particular player, and a lot of people want him to be set free. A lot of people would love to see that talent flourish here. Other people, Dan, just want to use him as a trade chip to try and upgrade this roster because it's all about the now and it's all about Curry. But when I see games like last night, I'm not going to lie, I am apprehensive about moving a player like that, even if it's for his own good, because there's just so much talent there. And it's undeniable. And it's frustrating that it hasn't come out when the Warriors have all of their best players, him trying to figure out how to play with the rest of their best players. But to me, that's where the next stage of his development is going to come.
I think it's best for both parties at this point. Because, again, I think Steve Kerr always puts an emphasis on, I think his offense is fine. I know people talk about his handle will get better. I think his shooting will get better. I think his decision-making will get better. That'll come with age. He's going to be an offensive threat, and he'll be a beast at times. But it's all the other things that he struggles with. And Coach Kerr talked about this, and he was candid. He's like, guys like this who come out of the G League just don't have the proper schooling. They haven't been taught in college. Like Trayce Jackson-Davis was a five-year guy, played under Rod Woodson. And Jonathan Kuminga just simply doesn't have that in his resume. And you can clearly see it. And sometimes it's a detriment, and it's something that stays with a player throughout their entire career, and they just become, good offensive guys. And I think that championship teams are made of two-way players that can score and understand the nuances of defense. And I think that if Steve Kerr, maybe he's already come to the conclusion that Jonathan Kuminga is not there and may not ever get there. And so what it is that he's doing is perfect because, to your point, he's showcasing talent that can get me a boatload in return. And so it's got to be some sort of a definitive where you understand where you're at with Jonathan Kuminga going forward. In other words, this is not a guy that we have long-term plans with because of what it is that he did on Christmas night, because of the fact that, you know, all these things in year four are still, they're still too prominent in his game, and there's too many holes in his game. And therefore, while the offense is attractive, let's go ahead and trade him while he has this, you know, he has that marketability, and he has, he's a trade chip right now because of what it is that he's doing on the floor.
But then the question to me also becomes who is the player you're getting back? Because I think there is a lot of potential that Kuminga can get to. And maybe it's not in Golden State. Maybe it's somewhere like Charlotte or Detroit or Brooklyn is a trade target, or a team that's been, you know, rumored to be involved with the Warriors. And a big hang-up in the potential Cam Johnson acquisition was Jonathan Kuminga not being available or not being made available by the Warriors. Do you think that that's changed? Because I think they have to figure out whether they're... I do think they have to move him, or they have to lean into him. Like, there appears to be no way or the other to go, and that's why I think they're stuck, because I do think that he's still too young to really impact winning consistently. But the Warriors are too old. Even some of their superstar players are too old for them to play and also win, apparently, consistently, because they've lost. And I don't know if they're a move away. I mean, we thought that Schroeder was going to come in and change everything.
I didn't.
Well, I didn't either.
Yeah.
But he's made it worse. Like, that's the issue. It's not, he hasn't just come in and not helped and just kind of been a guy. Dennis Schroeder is right now the worst two-man combination alongside Steph Curry. Like, they are a minus 48 in seven games together, or five games together. And that's a problem. And so when you're making trades, you can also hurt yourself. And I think Joe Schroeder's, he's a good player. He's a 12-year vet. He hasn't helped the Warriors. He hasn't helped Curry. And so trading Kuminga just to make a move and to go get a guy doesn't ensure that all your problems are solved. And getting a veteran player that can, quote-unquote, that he knows how to play doesn't necessarily work.
I don't want that. The only reason you move him is that you're going to get the pieces you want in return. Otherwise, you're not doing it, which is why it probably hasn't happened to date. I'm sure Dunleavy's been on the horn, and he hasn't found the right trade piece because he's not getting the proper return, I think, for Jonathan Kuminga.
That might have been why they didn't pull the trigger this summer.
But when you say he's too young, are you saying...
Inexperience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, just a lack of NBA minutes and NBA games. And it shows sometimes. Even last night, I thought he was awesome. But again, there's still some small things that happened.
Wasn't a clean game. He still made mistakes.
Yeah. And that's going to happen. If you're 22 years old, that's going to happen. And so the Warriors either have to be able to live with those mistakes or figure out how to make up for them. I mean, he was making mistakes early in the season when they were winning 12 out of 15 games. You know, so I think it can be done. And maybe when their schedule softens up a little bit. Again, they've had a December from hell. This will be the second team in the last 12 or 13 that they've played that is not above 500. And that's only because Phoenix is also at 500. So they've played a lot of good teams. And the fact that Kuminga looked as good as he did against a Clippers team that was not whole. You know, they still don't have Kawhi Leonard. Terrence Mann didn't play last night. He really hurt the Warriors the last time they played. But that's a good Clippers team that he just dropped 34 points on.
So the 510 wants to know if we'd be open to a Kuminga for Keegan Murray trade.
That's an interesting one.
Wow, that's not interesting to me. I'd say hell to the no. Are you kidding me?
Really?
Keegan Murray's taking a step back this year.
Well, yeah, but I think that's more about Sacramento than... I mean, he's kind of dealing with some of the same things that Kuminga is, to be honest.
Well, that's what I mean.
I think Keegan Murray would be a great fit in Golden State.
Not what I've seen this year.
Yeah, he has been bad this year. That's a fact. 888-957-9570 is the number. For the 510, we need a big man. This is the one thing that has an immediate effect in a positive way. Well, I mean, Trayce Jackson-Davis has looked pretty good. I don't think he's I don't know. Trayce Jackson-Davis is not the problem right now with the Warriors. They got a bunch of them, but he's not towards the top of my list.
Why? Is somebody going after TJD?
No. I think it's just always the want or the clamoring for a true center or a big man. And I also don't think that would hurt some of the players that we're talking about, specifically Jonathan Kuminga. Let's go to North Carolina, one of my favorite states. Talk to our guy, Tim.
Oh, here comes Raleigh.
Tim, what's going on? How
here
we doing,
go.
Man?
Here we
what's
go.
What's up, Dan? What's up, guys? Hey, I appreciate you guys. I know I talked to Dan last night. I think what we kind of missing, guys, it's a guy that sits high up on the totem pole that is a big, big fan of this kid that also wants to sell tickets in 3 to 4 years when there is no Curry and Draymond here again. That has a lot to do with this, and that is also seeing these performances. And this guy also sees and knows what this kid does when he's given 30 minutes a game. I would ask you to look at your numbers at this kid. When he gets 30 minutes a game, what his statistics are. And I don't necessarily believe it needs to be a bad team. I mean, yeah, I would love to see this kid paired up with Wimby. I would love to see him paired up with Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Jaime Jaquez. So it is not about him having to go be a one somewhere. It's just him having to be unleashed to be a basketball player. He could be partnered up with somebody else who's just as good. You know, that's what it's not. It's not about he got to go play for a garbage team and get a bunch of shots. The kid just needs to be empowered. I mean, he looks for people out on the court. He moves without the ball. And I think, you know, you guys, I don't know if y'all played sports before, but you probably have. Usually that empowerment kind of has to come from the teammates who you are deferring to. Curry needs to kind of go to him, and Draymond got to go to him and say, look, young fella, go get it. Just go get it. And they got to really believe him, and they got to really do it. Like, they got to feed it to him in crunch time. Let him mess up. That empowerment comes from them. If it comes from them, I think you will see a different level. So, and I mean, I believe, you know, it's got to be a little in-game adjustments where maybe the offense changes a little bit when he's out there, maybe, and when Curry's out there. Like, I think it'll do a lot of his confidence if he knows, damn, Curry's on the court and they still running some action for me. Those type of things go to your mentals and make you start being like, okay, let me stop holding back and just go get it. But, yeah, that's why I say to you guys, I want to see him away from here because I hate the critiques that we give him. It's not that he's 22. It's that he just turned 22, damn, 2 months ago. So it's a big difference from being 22, about to be 23, and just turning 22. Like, this kid is young. And I want to see him on another team just unleashed and empowered.
Hey, Raleigh, stay right where you are, man. I got a question for you. So I got to disagree with you. You're right. I played a little sport, so has Ev. And to be honest with you, when a guy feels as though he's the guy, those dudes are usually wired differently, and they don't care about the Steph Currys or the so-called best players on the team. Anthony Edwards didn't give a rip about Karl Anthony Towns when he came into the league.
A little different.
But usually if you're a guy that feels as though you've got the makeup to be a one or a star, you don't necessarily those guys, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, Raleigh.
Right,
those
well,
dudes
let me
are
respond
wired differently.
Real quick, Dan. Let me respond real quick. Number one, hell of a big difference between Cap and Steph Curry. Number two, we saw with Jordan Poole what happened to him when he got too big for his britches. This guy was in a gym when he saw his teammate get knocked in the face, punched out cold. We forget that. He was standing right there and watched it. And what was Jordan Poole? Jordan Poole was a cocky kid who did not think that way. He didn't see Steph. He didn't see Clay. He didn't see Draymond. So think about it, Dan. We talk about the mental makeup of this kid and what he's seen. So maybe he thinks that way, but damn. He saw a teammate get punched out and then get traded. So, Dan, you got to add that into it too, brother.
I hear you.
I got you, Tim. Appreciate the call. We do have to hit a break, Tim. But on the other side, I see Austin. I see Filmo Mike. I see Daniel.
They're coming to the forefront. Here we go,
We got our 2, 3, and 4 hitters coming up on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, we're talking about what the Warriors right now, after losing their 12th game in 15, falling to 500, what are they doing? What are they trying to figure out? I think the biggest piece of this roster that needs clarity is Jonathan Kuminga. We'll get into it deeper now on the other side. Second hour coming up on 95.7 The Game.